A Lenten Wednesday sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 9, 2003, entitled, I Need You. The texts for the sermon are Psalm 88, Luke 22, verses 14 through 23, and Matthew 26. Verses 36 through 41. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
As I suppose you know, having been with me for a long time, the most difficult and frustrating time of my life, the most difficult part of my work is to determine themes and texts for preaching. And when I am about to do that, which I try to do for a season, or usually a month, 2 months, 3 months. It's an anxious time, and sometimes I spend the whole day and come up empty, and sometimes I've spent several days and still don't have the faintest clue, nothing seems to click. And then once in a while, after such a period of stewing, a whole series will spill itself out in 5 minutes, and sometimes it's just a trickle. One theme, one text at a time. But there's one thing that I've learned, it's absolutely essential, and that is that when I'm doing that, it is so important that I jot down a sentence or two which will remind me when I come back to that some weeks later why in the world I chose that theme or text. On occasion, I've forgotten to do that. Then I come down all grumpy and say to Nancy, what in the world was I thinking about? But when I do it, then I can approach the preparation with something in mind, which is so helpful and so important. And tonight there was just one sentence that I had noted from the time of my, from the period of gestation of the Lenten series, and that sentence was, if I have you, I have enough. If I have you, I have enough. I entitled tonight's meditation, I Need You. And I need you, because if I have you, I have enough. And that's because the human situation is very difficult. Life is a gift, and life can be beautiful and wonderful, and life can be harrowing and tragic. And we all know that there's enough suffering to go around. There's enough pain and enough anguish. And few of us get by scot-free. Sometime or other, there's that moment when the crisis comes, the bottom drops out, the roof caves in, and we feel desperate and desolate. And in that human reality, which is common, the common lot of our humanity, I want to suggest to you tonight that if I have you, I have enough. But I need you. Psalm 88 that I read a moment ago with a word of introduction is that pouring out of human anguish, which, as I said, the only instance in the Psalms where there is no resolution, where there is no light that breaks through, where there's no indication of some light at the end of the tunnel. It's just darkness. In the three sections of the psalm, that word, the Hebrew word for darkness, appears in each section. And the anguish of the psalmist, although he is addressing God, because this was good Jewish practice, in whatever state one found oneself, one would argue with God or plead with God, or be angry with God, or claim God's mercy or whatever. But there was this dialogue with God. As long as the Hebrew, as long as the son or daughter of Israel was in conversation with God, that faith, that connection was intact. But as a matter of fact, this was a tenuous link, this word, this cry, because there was absolutely no sign, no clue, no experience of the presence of God. And if you go back to that psalm, you'll find a couple of times that word shun. You've caused my friends to shun me. And the psalm ends with the shunning of the friends, so that the psalmist says, darkness is my companion. And I want to suggest to you that the absence of friends, this total aloneness, was the root, the cause of the absence of the experience of God. There are a few hardy souls that seem to be able to make their way alone. And there are those rare mystics who seem to be able to cultivate some communion with God in isolation. But I think for most of us, garden variety human beings, the experience of God is mediated through the experience of the human. And when I read Psalm 88 and I read the anguish of the psalmist and I learn from him that he has been shunned, that he is alone, then I'm not surprised that his experience is one of darkness and the absence of God. Because it is in human communion that we find the communion with God. Jesus, as he was about to celebrate the Passover on the night before his crucifixion, says in the 22nd chapter of Luke and the 15th verse, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you." And the Greek word desire is used both as a noun and as a verb, which is rather interesting. It is the same word, but its verbal form is different. And it literally is "with desire," the noun, "I have desired," the verb, which expresses the intensity of the yearning of Jesus to be with his close companions on that night, in which, according to Luke's gospel and Matthew and Mark as well, they are to celebrate the Passover feast. And it's not difficult to understand that, is it? There had been the temple incidents. All of the cards were in a row. All of the ducks were set up. Jesus certainly knew what he would face. He must have known at this time that he would die. And so here is Jesus facing the excruciating, violent death of crucifixion. And he says to his companions, "I need you." Wouldn't that be the way any one of us would respond? At the point of that crisis of one's life, "I need you. I have been yearning deeply to share this moment with you." There was the Passover feast. The Passover feast celebrated the liberation from Egypt, the Exodus story, the deliverance of the Hebrew slaves from Pharaoh's realm, setting them free under the leadership of Moses. Discussion now in the Jewish community about whether or not that really ever happened that way. It probably didn't really happen that way. It's their story. Didn't matter whether it happened that way, because the story shaped this people who understood that God's intention for them was to be a free people. This was a story of their liberation. This was the annual celebration of their freedom march. And one wonders what was going on in Jesus' mind, because Jesus was concerned to restore that sense of freedom and liberation to his people who were living under systems of domination. And what he had been able to do to people is to call them again to their human dignity, to their humanity, and to remember that old Mosaic covenant tradition at its best. And here it is, Passover. And Jesus is remembering that it's a feast of liberation and celebration, and his whole life has been about setting people free. And now does he wonder, might God do some dramatic thing? Might there yet be some intervention? Or if he was to die, could somehow or other that death be connected with some mighty act of God? What must have been going through his mind? We don't know, of course. But certainly we can speculate that all of that must have been a part of it. And the point is, he said to his closest friends, "I need you. I have this deep longing to celebrate this moment with you." Because Jesus knew that as his life hung in the balance, that he needed companions. And then they go out to the garden, and once again his soul is grieved. In some of the words behind the Greek of those Gospels, it says that his insides were churned, wrung out. He was agitated in his spirit. And he said to his disciples, "Stay here with me and pray." And he went off a distance and he poured out his heart. "Dear God, is it possible? Is there some other way? Can this cup be removed from me? Nevertheless, thy will be done." And he comes back, and what does he find? They're sleeping. And if you read Luke's gospel, he says they were asleep because of their grief. I think it's a whitewash job. Jesus said, "The spirit is weak, is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we do disappoint one another, don't we? Someone used a phrase which I've never forgotten, compassion fatigue. Tired of caring. We let one another down sometimes. But Jesus has said, I need you. I think that the experience of God, the presence of God, is really only known in the presence of another. And that's why I jotted down that sentence some weeks ago. If I have you, I have enough. And that's what community is about. That's why I think there will always be a community of people like this. Structures and forms may come and go, denominations may rise and fall. The form and structure of the church will certainly continue to evolve and move on. But I sense there will always be community like this. I know I need you. And if I have you, I have enough. And I want to celebrate the gift of Christ's community. Because frankly, I've lived my whole life in the church, and the first part of it was in the rather conservative and evangelical church. And I want to tell you, I still get a lot of feedback and know what's going on out there. And by golly, Christian churches are not always the most pleasant places to be. Someone said about Christians, why does the church shoot its wounded? But you know, we've experienced something here that I want to celebrate tonight. As we've been able, as Jed said beautifully in the prayer, as we've been able to be on pilgrimage, we've been able to let a lot of things go. So that when we're together, we don't have to defend God. We can really care for one another. Henry Nouwen, in one of his books, The Dutch Contemplative Now Dead, wrote so poignantly about what we need to do for one another is to care for one another. What we tend to want to do is cure one another. But what we really need to do is care for one another. And to care for one another is to be present to one another and to be able to sit in the darkness with another and absorb the pain and keep our mouth shut. Just be quiet. Because we don't have to defend God. Don't have to defend the Bible. Don't have to defend some creedal structure. Don't have to defend the institution. This is the Ancola of institutions. Here, we can let all that go and just be there for one another and care genuinely and not have any answers and not be able to fix it and not be able to heal it and not be able to make it all right and not be able to explain the will of God and the ways of God, just to be there in the darkness and to wait and to be silent, to absorb the pain without an answer. Oh, it'd be so easy if I could come to you in the midst of your trouble and cure it and make it right and fix it. Because you see, then I would be in control. But when I come with you in the darkness and I can't fix it, then I can only love you and care for you. And I want to say that what I love about this community is that we've let so many things go that we don't have to defend, we don't have to protect. We celebrate the grace that has set us free, that we have found embodied in one another. And it frees us to care for one another. And what in the world is more important than that? What matters more than that? If I have you, there's nothing I cannot go through. If I have you, I have enough. I need you. And I promise to be there for you as well.